At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench on a midweek. Where do you hurt Wednesday? The 25 Midsummer Classic featured the two best pitchers in the game to start for their respective leagues, and you had all the best guys in the field in different lineups. It had the first automatic ball strike challenges in the game's history. There was a 6-run comeback, and there's all kinds of action from this game we got to talk about. It took 4 hours after the first pitch. The National League won it. It beat the American League behind Schwarbaum, Kyle Schwarber, in an unprecedented home run derby style swing off, first one ever, a 4-3 homer edge after the score was tied at 6 through 9 innings. Schwarbaum hit 3 home runs on 3 swings in the swing off after going over 2 with a walk during the game, becoming the first position player to win All-Star Game MVP without recording a hit in the game. The senior circuit gets it done, just their second win in the last 12 All-Star games. They didn't have a winning or losing pitcher of record unofficially. It was one of the most incredible endings to an All-Star game you ever seen. And Aaron Boone said, it's like wiffle ball in the backyard. The tiebreaker, just like a hockey shootout, was established in 2022. And last night, Boone and Roberts, the managers, were required to have a list of guys that would be alternates to MLB should the game need a swing off after 9 innings. And the starters, you know, are done and gone. And then the managers opted for reserves. And they did it after the NL took a 6-0 lead. Pete Alonso, a 3-run shot. They led into the 7th inning, but the AL scored 4 runs in the 7th and then tied the game, went down to its last out in the 9th to send it to a swing-off. Schwarber said, Dave asked yesterday, if there's a tie, would you do it? I said, absolutely, not thinking that we were going to end up in a tie when you say yes. And then as the game's going, you're looking at the score. You're not really thinking the game's going to end in a tie. But it did. Roberts originally selected Schwarber, D-backs third baseman Suarez, and Alonso, a 2-time home run champ in the Derby. But Suarez, who was hit on the left hand by a pitch in the 8th inning, was scratched after being announced and replaced by Kyle Stowers. Boone countered with A's DH Brent Rooker, Randy Ferreira, and first baseman Jonathan Aranda of the Rays. Of course, Ferreira plays with Seattle now. Dodgers third base coach Dino Abel threw for the NL. The Yankees first base coach Travis Chapman did the same thing for the AL. Each player was granted 3 swings and an unlimited number of pitches to take them. Rooker, the only guy that was in the home run derby on Monday, led off with 2 homers. Stowers followed with a shot. And then Ferreira then extended the AL's lead to 3-1 with another one. And then came Schwarber, a man built to smack home runs. Has never won a home run derby, however. He lost in the finals in 18 and failed to advance out of the first round in 22. He hasn't entered another one since. He didn't falter last night, though, the 3-time All-Star, after some drama with a delayed emergence from the NL dugout. He crushed 3 homers, drawing louder and louder reactions from the fans after each one. The first one, a 428-footer that went 107 miles an hour to dead center. Then he cracked a 461-foot, 109-mile-an-hour moonshot to deep right. He finished with a spree with a 382-foot shot, dropping one down on one knee as the ball soared to right field into the seats. Fans were going crazy, teammates going crazy. Schwarber said, I think the first swing was kind of the big one. It was just really trying to get a line drive versus trying to hit a home run. Usually that tends to work out, especially in games. Then there was pressure shifting to Aranda. He needed a homer to tie the game. He lifted a fly ball to the warning track before cranking a ball off the top of the wall and right. His last swing produced a weak fly to left, giving the AL no more chances. The NL wins it at 8-minute mark before midnight. So it was almost midnight when this thing finally ended. Robert said, first time in history we got to do this, and I think it played pretty well tonight. It was unbelievable. The rules on Tuesday were the same as the ABS challenge rules introduced during spring training when they used the ball strike system in the game. Each team received two challenges for the game. Only the pitcher, catcher, batter could do the challenge, and the request needed to be immediate without help from the dugout or other players on the field. Five pitches were challenged Tuesday. The first was an 0-2 change that Scooble threw to Manny Machado that the home plate called a ball in the first inning. Scooble and his catcher, Raleigh, didn't agree and challenged the pitch to make history. The call was overturned, ending Machado's at bat with a strikeout. Scooble said, I wasn't even going to use him, but I felt like it was a strike, and you want that in an 0-2 count. Scooble became the first Tigers pitcher to start in an All-Star game since Scherzer in 2013. Opposite him was the Cy Young favorite Skeens. After the year started, like when you remember last time he was the starter in the All-Star game last year, 11 career outings on his resume, Skeens received the nod again to become the 10th pitcher to start consecutive All-Star games and the first to accomplish the feat in his first two seasons. Last year in Texas, Skeens walked one batter in his scoreless inning, and it said it pissed him off, and this time around, two strikeouts on 100-mile-an-hour fastballs to Gleyber Torres, Gleyber Day, and then Riley Green to open the game. He struck them both out. He reached back to try to strike out the side, but Judge grounded out up the middle on a 100-mile-an-hour heater to conclude Skeen's night. Skeen said, that's what the All-Star game's for. Every hitter is trying to hit a home run. We're trying to strike everybody out. 11-time All-Star Clayton Kershaw relieved Skeens, 14 years, his junior, in the second inning. Raleigh welcomed the Dodgers. Kershaw with a 101-mile-an-hour line drive that Kyle Tucker snagged with a sliding catch. Then Kershaw got Vladdy Jr. looking at an 87-mile-an-hour slider on the sixth pitch. Rodgers came out of the dugout to take the ball from Kershaw and end what could be his final All-Star game appearance of his Hall of Fame career. Kershaw did deliver a pregame speech in the dugout. He said, we have the best All-Star game of any sport. We do have the best product, so to be here to realize your responsibility in the sport is important. And we have Ohtani here. We have Judge here. We have all these guys that represent the game really, really well. So we get to showcase that and be part of something that is important. I just said I was super honored to be a part of it. Kershaw was part of something never seen before, that home run session by Schwarbaum and the swing off. It was crazy last night in Atlanta. I gave you the National League yesterday on Pharrell Coast to Coast. I said they would kick the AL's ass. They were up 6-0. They blew it, but they still won, and they covered on the money line and the run line. So shake that up. All right, let's do the summer league from last night in Sin City. The first game was T-Wolves. They beat the Pistons 89-73. Shannon Jr. had 24 for the Wolves. The Knicks beat the Nets 97-93. Tyler Kolek had 25 and 4 steals. Thunder over the Magic 92-75. A.J. Mitchell had 27 and 7 boards for the Thunder. They're 3-0. So are the Raptors. They beat the Nuggets, but Denver covered. 101-97 Raps. Walter had 26 and 7 steals for Toronto. The Sixers won their first game, 74-58. They blew out the Wizards. Bona, as in bona fide, 9, 8, and 6 blocks for Philly. The Dubs beat the Grizzlies. I hit that game as well, 96-84. Was the final. Warriors. Rowe had 14 and 6 boards for him. Blazers over the Pels. I gave you the Blazers as well on C2C yesterday, 93-87. Rupert Murdoch with 24 to lead Portland. Let's take a look at Wednesday's schedule. Out in Sin City, to Mecca, to Hub, beautiful downtown Las Vegas, baby. 3:30 when I'm on Coast to Coast today live. On the Deuce, it's Kings and Cavs from the Thomas and Hack. Sacramento laying 4.5. They're 3-0. Cavs are 2-1. 5 o'clock on NBA TV, Suns and Wolves. Minnesota laying 8.5 at the Cox Pavilion. Suns are 1-2. T-Wolves are 3-0 now. 5:30 on the Deuce. Bucks 1-2 against the 1-2 Bulls. Milwaukee laying 4.5 at the Thomas and Hack. 7:30 on NBA TV, Magic and Nets at the Cox. Orlando laying 1.5. Both teams are 0-3. At 8 o'clock on ESPN, Mavs and Sixers. They're both 1-2. Philly's laying 6.5 at the Thomas and Hack. And at 9:30 on NBA TV, Pels Thunder. Thunder are 3-0, Pels 0-3. Oak City's laying 9.5 at the Cox. And 10 o'clock, the nightcap on ESPN, Wizards and Jazz. Wizards are 1-2, Jazz are 0-3. Utah's laying 1.5 at the Thomas and Hack. There's all your summer league games for today out in Vegas. And obviously, you're good to go with all your hoops, except the WNBA. Last night, Fever 85-77 over the Sun in Connecticut. Howard with 18 and 13 for Indiana. They improved to 12 and 10. And the LA Sparks by 19 all over DC. The Mystics got whacked. Hamby had 26 and 6 rebounds for LA. In the WNBA today, there's day games. Noon, Dream and Sky in Chicago. Atlanta laying 8.5. 1 o'clock, Mercury and Lynx at the Target Center in Minneapolis. Minnesota's laying 10.5. 10.5. The Mercury have 15 wins. I'll take those points. 3 o'clock when I'm on, it's Golden State, the Valkyries at Seattle. Seattle laying 5.5 at the Climate Pledge. 7:30 on CBS Sports Network, Fever and Liberty at the No Sleep Till Barclays in Brooklyn. New York's laying 9.5. I might grab those points as well there with the Fever. 8 o'clock, Aces and Wings in Arlington, Texas. The Wings are 10 games under 500. Aces 10 and 11. They're laying Vegas 5.5 in that game tonight. There's all your WNBA action for a Wednesday. By the way, Caitlin Clark left a game last night again with another injury, this time the groin acting up again. How about this in golf? Before the Open Championship starts tomorrow at Portrush in Northern Ireland, Oakmont Country Club in Pittsburgh has banned golfer Wyndham Clark from the property after he damaged his locker following missing the cut at the U.S. Open. In a letter sent to members, Oakmont Country Club president John Lynch said the club reached its decision after multiple discussions with the USGA and the club's board. The ban could be lifted if Clark, who's 31, pays for damages, makes a meaningful contribution to a charity selected by the Oakmont Country Club board, and undergoes counseling or anger management therapy. Oakmont is scheduled to host the U.S. Open again in 2033. Obviously, Lynch wrote in his letter, several of you have inquired about the situation involving Clark and the steps being taken in response to his behavior following multiple discussions with the USGA and OCC board. A decision has been made that Mr. Clark will no longer be permitted on the Oakmont property. Wow. This decision will remain in effect unless formally reconsidered and improved on by the board. After those comments, everyone confirmed the letter was sent to the members of Oakmont Country Club. Clark made a bogey on the final hole of the second round and missed the cut. He apologized for his behavior the following week at the Travelers. He said, "I've had a lot of highs and lows in my career, especially this year, some lows. I made a mistake that I deeply regret. I'm very sorry for what happened, but I'd like to move on, not only for myself, but for Oakmont, for the USGA, and kind of focus on the rest of the year and things that come up." Well, that wasn't good enough. At the PGA Championship, Clark threw his driver and damaged a sign near the tee box that featured one of his most prominent sponsors. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. Clark said, "As pros, we are expected to remain professional even when frustrated. And unfortunately, I let my emotions get the best of me. My actions were uncalled for and completely inappropriate, making it clear that I have things that I need to work on. I promise to be better the way I handle my frustrations on the course going forward and hope you all can forgive me in due time." Of course, he slipped to 28th in the world golf rankings ahead of the Open Championship in Portrush, Northern Ireland. He has one top 10 finish and 19 starts on tour this season. I'm glad that Oakmont banned his ass. Just some tee times for tomorrow. Remember, these are Eastern times. So late night, like really crazy. You got Patty Harrington in the first group to go out. Second group, Louis Oosthuizen with KJ Choi and Migliozzi. Third group, Cameron Smith is in it. Fourth group, Jason Day, Taylor Pendrith, and Jakob Skov Olesen. And then Phil Mickelson is in a group. Then Max Grazerman, Hun An, and Norgaard. Jordan Smith, Ho Tong Lee, Dustin Johnson in a group at 2:41 a.m. Darren Clark, Davis Riley, Lucas Herbert at 2:52, 3:03 a.m. Kevin Yu, Julian Garrier, and Akutsu, 3:14. Dietrich Goderup, who just won the Scottish, and Lee Westwood. Later in the morning, around 5 a.m., Xander Schauble, J.J. Spahn, John Rahm, 5:09, Lowry, Morikawa, Scheffler, 5:20, Jimmy Connors, Wyndham Clark, the bad boy, and Tom Hoagie Sandwich. It goes on and on and on all day. How about this one? 7:09, Adam Scott, Ricky Fowler, and Ethan Fang. So it's going to be great golf, great course, great links, right on the water. Weather always crazy, wind crazy, a lot of extremities, brutal bunkers, you name it. There's nothing better than the Open Championship. We'll be covering it all day today on a Golf Wednesday on Pharrell Coast to Coast, 3 to 6 East on SportsGrid TV, SportsGrid app, sportsgrid.com/watch. We also stream on X at SportsGrid-Live. We're on all new smart TVs like TCL, Samsung Plus, Vizio, and LG TVs. Just search SportsGrid, you'll find us. We're also on Amazon Freevee, Roku, Sling, Fubo TV, YouTube TV, and Fire TV. We're on radio on Sirius XM channel 159. That's 159. And we're even on Sports Byline USA. Make sure you get the Pharrell and the Profit app. Pharrell and the Profit app is badass because everybody's making so much effing money. Fat Stack City. We're cashing tickets. We hit tons of plays. We've been on fire in July. Raking. I mean, honestly, raking. 45 and 29. That is crazy. 21. 45 and 21 is crazy. That is absolutely crazy in July. And the second half in baseball starts up on Friday and we'll start raking again. And that's all there is to it. You have to tell your friends about this app. And you have to sign up before football season. Before college and pro football, when we make people boatloads of money. It is not expensive. It is worth the money. Go check it out. You can be a member in several different categories. You get elite plays, max profit plays. What do you choose to do? That's up to you. Tell your buddies about it. Sign up today. You won't regret it. It's the Pharrell and the Profit app. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. I'll see you today at 3 on Coast to Coast. Shake out, ooh, shake out, ooh.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.